Holy are you, my Lord. Holy and worthy are you, my Lord. And Father, we just come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction. As we repent for every word, thought, and deed, anything that we've done that's offended you, works of the flesh, dead works, selfish ambitions, putting our will and our opinion above yours. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. Please wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence as we welcome the holy breath of God. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. We welcome you. Refresh us. Empower us. Let the anointing of your presence and the glory of your love break every yoke of bondage. Free us from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Free us from ourself. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. And open our eyes to see you, Master. Our ears to hear you. And our heart to receive what you have for us. Jesus. You said, call me and I would answer you and show you great and mighty things. And we call upon the name above all names, Jesus. So Master, please, grant us more of you. More wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, strength and boldness, sight, revelation, confirmation, manifestation, impartation and visitation. That we may be more like you. In Jesus' name. Nobody said amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Go give somebody a hug. Tell them this is your day. How many of you all there Friday night? Yeah. Glory. You know, God's so good to us. You know, if we'll just wait on him and allow him to be God. You know, one of the impartations for Friday night, when we talked afterwards and what the Spirit was revealing to us, you know, because his presence was so strong in that area, that he was saying, you need the anointing to make right decisions. And he was telling us that we are in the valley of decision. And in that valley of decision, we try to calculate so many things to make the right decision, but you must. That's why he said it's the anointing of God. And the anointing is the eternal presence, power, and truth that's going to allow you to make the right decision. And in this, and where we were talking about being in a valley of decision, because so many things are coming up right now. There's so many things in people's lives, especially in the body of Christ, that they're waiting on God for a decision, but they're not willing to get all the way to him to receive it. Hello? See, you can't half-step the Lord. You have to full-step. In other words, people are waiting on God, but God is waiting on us to get all the way to him, to go past all three chambers of the tabernacle and touch his heart. And that's where your decision will be answered. Has everybody got it? And in this, there are areas where the enemy loves to infiltrate, to prevent us or to cause us not to fight all the way through. You know, one of the things the Bible says is that we are in need of endurance. It's amazing on how many people are willing to work all day out in the hot sun to endure and get a paycheck. But they're not willing to endure to touch the heart of God, to fight all the way. See, now I want you to understand this, because in this area there's much deception going on. And this is one of the ploys of the enemy to begin to cause us to compromise, be lazy or complacent. Sort of, we're not, you know, what did the Lord say? He says, don't be lukewarm. Don't be cold, but be what? Hot. See, the only way you maintain hotness is to get in the hot presence. Hello. Praise God. Would you turn to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2. One of the things that influence us in making decisions is desires. Every desire, no matter what it is going to promote a choice. Has everybody got it? Every desire promotes a choice. Every desire. No matter what it is, every desire will promote a choice. And every desire is associated with a want. A fruit of a desire is a want. In that want or in that desire, you're going to make a choice. It's going to promote a choice. And one of the things that we want is divine desires. And it's our responsibility to discern what is divine and what is not divine desire. That's our responsibility. Because if you're able to discern the difference in the divine desire or fleshly desire or demonic desire, which is the same, you're going to make the right choice. Has everybody got it? And in that, you'll be able to see all the way through. See, so many times, because that desire, anything that's not a divine desire will not allow you to see all the way through. You can't. It's impossible. That's all you can do is see partial. Because that's all you're associated is with yourself then. Is everybody okay? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, would you read it with me? He says, "In you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Well, let me share something with you. There's an area where the devil likes to get you out of that place. It says that we are seated in Christ in heavenly places. Well, you know what he wants to do? Kick you out of that seat. And one of the ways he's going to do it is by misleading you or giving you a desire known as a selfish desire. He tries to prevent divine desires from manifesting in you and through you. So it says here, "And he raised us up together, made us sit into the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might" what? "Show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God" what? "Prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In other words, he's already prepared divine desires for me and you. They're already prepared for us. Why? So that you and I could work good works and bring glory to his name in every area. So we know that the desires of the flesh are actually a representation of demonic influence promoting the desire or want that produces a nature. And in this nature, there's an area of choice, where choices are led either to the wrath of God or the blessings of God. And it doesn't mean that it's going to happen right then and there. Just because you make that choice doesn't mean something's going to happen right then and there. Is everybody with me? Because so many times people make wrong choices that are not promoted by a divine desire. And in that, it can take months or years for it to come to pass. That is going to, because what you sow is what you reap. Is everybody okay? Go to James chapter 1. So whose responsibility is it to discern a divine desire or a fleshly desire? Ours. You know, and there's so many times when we do discern it, but we justify it. We reason it. Oh, hallelujah. Let me share something very important. Every desire that you choose that is not a divine desire always causes a delay. It always causes a what? Delay. A delay of answered prayer. It always causes a delay. In verse 12, James 1, verse 12. Blessed is a man who what? Endures temptation. For when he has been approved, hello, how's he going to be approved? By overcoming temptation. He's going to endure it, isn't he? He's going to overcome it. Why? Because he knows that that temptation is caused by a demonic desire. Has everybody got it? So what we, it's our responsibility. See, people think that just a demonic desire is an area of lust or stealing or lying or cheating. No, a demonic desire is not doing the desire that's given to you by God. It's a wrong desire. If it's a desire of the flesh, it's a demonic desire. Hello? Is everybody okay? Now, don't get goofy on me. All right? And don't make, you know, for some of you that are married, you don't tell your wife that's a demonic desire. Hello? It's not a demonic desire. Those are divine desires, aren't they? Now, for some of us who are lusting, that's not a divine desire, is it? Hello? That's why the Bible says that the world is under the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Those are demonic desires. Amen? Those are wants to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is not to fulfill the lust of the Spirit. Hello? Now, you and I should lust after God. Do you understand that? In other words, we grope after Him. We're willing to go no matter what. We want Him. And there's a divine desire that God gives us and imparts in us when you are born again. And that is to go after Him. Now, there are corporate desires. And then there's individual desires because each individual has a specific function. But there's still a corporate desire. And the whole corporate of the body of Christ desire should be to do the will of God at whatever cost. The desire should to be obedient all the way through. The desire should be to be disciplined no matter what. The desire should be to overcome feelings. Hello? The desire should be to overcome yourself. It should be to pleasing God no matter what. And not to fall short, but to endure all the way. You know, see, what happens is when these other desires begin to come into effect, it puts a person out of divine order. When a person is out of divine order, now you must fulfill divine order. Now you may know what divine order is, but if you're not fulfilling the divine order, you're out of position. Has everybody got it? You're out of position. And by being out of position, God can't get something to you, so everything has got to be delayed until you get back in divine position. And then it comes. But see, these desires, what we call demonic, listen, I know sometimes it's difficult because some people don't like to hear the word demonic. They think, oh, I'm demonized. Oh, no, that's not that. Because demonic, you're being demonically influenced every day from the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep and even while you're sleeping. The demonic forces are after you. Hello. And they try to motivate you by moving you in the flesh. And if they can motivate you to move in the flesh, they know that what you sow is what you reap. Hello. Is everybody okay? All right, let's go a little further. Let's start at verse 12 again. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he's been what? Approved. He will what? Receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now listen, when you overcome this demonic desire, you go through it, you've been approved. To what? Receive answered prayer. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own what? Desires or wants. His own. His own means associated with self, meaning flesh. See, we don't want our desires anymore, do we? We want his desires. And then they are enticed. And when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to what? Sin, which is the presence of evil. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. You know, let me share with you, that's why many visions come to an end. Because the devil has imparted a demonic desire, and they've sold the divine desire, which is associated with a vision, for a false one. And it comes to an end. Hello. Now, there's a difference of God bringing something and then ceasing it than God wanting us to go all the way through with it and it coming to an end before its time. Is everybody with me? The Bible says, do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren, for every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So tempted, we are tempted to make a choice that leads to separation from God. Delayed answer of prayer, or even the wrath of God. Because what you sow is what you what? Reap. Because desires promote choice. Desires do what? They promote choice. Go to James 4. You know, the devil doesn't come up to you and say, hey man, why don't you choose this? No, he first puts a desire. Does everybody get it? Now, let me step back a little bit, because every desire has a vision. Are you with me? Every desire has a what? A vision. You know, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he was always trying to, first of all, he was trying to disqualify him. He was always challenging him and saying, if you truly are the Son of God, do this. But every time he was saying, do this, a vision came. Because he was enticing him with what? A desire, a want. Finally, he showed him, didn't he? Didn't he begin to show him? He brought him up on the pinnacle and he said, listen, man, I'll show you all this. And if you jump off of this, and the angels will pick you up. He was always trying to tempt him. And he tempts you with a desire to want. But every desire has a vision. Listen, when you lust, you don't just lust because you, oh, I'm lust. No, there's a vision. That's why Jesus spoke in parables, didn't he? To bring what? Vision. Is everybody okay? In verse 1, it says, read it with me. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for what? Pleasure that where? War in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet, you cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have, because you do not what? Ask. And you ask and do not receive, because you ask it amiss, that you may spend it on your... or your what? Desires. Why? Because the devil wants to fulfill his vision in your life. But we want a divine vision, don't we? Verse 4, he calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is what? Enmity with God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself a what? He makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. So these desires for lustful pleasures, they're choices of the world. They're influenced by demonic forces that promotes pride, rebellion, self-justification, offenses, anxiousness, of course sin, open doors, misalignment with God's timing. You want me to repeat them? I thought so. These are choices of the world influenced by demonic sources that promote pride, rebellion, self-justification, sin, open doors, offenses, anxiousness, misaligned timing of God. In other words, it puts you out of God's timing. And of course, delayed prayer. Answer of prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, wanting to do the right thing and doing the right thing is two different things. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. Would you read it with me, please? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Now let me share something with you that is important. It says, preach the word. In other words, be an example. One thing a person doesn't want to do is hear you preach if you're not being the example first. Has everybody got it? Let me tell you, God will send people to you. You go to a place and God will begin to send them to you. But the first thing they're looking at is you. Why? Because the Bible says no man comes to the Father unless he is drawn. So the anointing on your life will draw that person. Now you must discern in how you're going to deliver the message. Because you cannot deliver the... It's your deliverance. It's the same message, but it's a different deliverance to each person. Amen? Does everybody understand that? It's a different... Sometimes you got to go in the back door of a person. Sometimes you can be right out in front with them. And sometimes you can only give them a little speck, a seed, so that it can grow. But it's our responsibility that the anointing will cause you to discern. You'll make the right choice in how to deliver that message. Has everybody got it? Or else what will happen, the devil will use you to push people away instead of draw people. And that's where you're going to have to trust God. And you're going to have to hit that throne room. You're going to have to stay dead to yourself. You're going to have to discern the difference between being led and being pushed. And sometimes it's so subtle. Believe me, I see people out there preaching the word of God on the streets and everything, and I want to take them off the street because they're doing more harm than their help. They're pushing people away. Does everybody understand that? I've seen them beat people up with the Bible just about, man. I'm telling you, I've walked up to people and said, man, I don't want to hear that person because they were just preaching the word. You got to get right. You got to get it. I want to shut up, man. There's a time for that. Don't get me wrong. There's a time for it. When you do an invitation and people are all coming from everywhere, there's a time for it. Why? Because they know they're coming to hear a message, aren't they? But when you're in places, you better discern in how to deliver that message. Or you'll make yourself an idiot. And you'll bring shame to God instead of bringing glory to Him. One thing we don't... I'm telling you, I was pushed away, and I've seen many people get pushed away in the streets. Really. That's why you must be led. You must be led. And that desire is either a divine desire or a demonic desire. Has everybody got it? And you must be able to discern that, because that desire is going to cause you to make a choice, isn't it? It's going to cause you to make a choice in how to what? Deliver that message. I know we're going a little bit deeper in this area, but it's important that we know this right now. It's very, very important. Because we can be so zealous for God. Listen, Saul, who became Paul, was very zealous for God. And he went around killing everybody that were believers, that were right with God. He was killing the wrong people. So everybody got it. It's important that we discern this and discern where this desire is coming from. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But according to their what? Own desires. Right now, remember, when you see own desires, that's a demonic desire. Because there's either a divine desire or your own desire. but according to their own desires, because they will have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth, and be turned aside to what? Fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. Now, many people are turning away from the truth. I mean, I'm not going to mention any names, but I know some powerful evangelists. I mean, you know, 6,000 to 10,000 people in their church, television ministry, and everything, and have turned away to a doctrine of demons. And now preaches that they don't believe in hell, but at one time they preached hell. Now they don't believe hell. And they just believe, you know, they become New Agers. And they embrace all sin. They embrace all sin instead of expose it. And it's happening right now. So they're turning from the truth to fables because of a desire or a want to fulfill the flesh. It's making an unhealthy choice and departing from God's timeline. Every demonic desire that promotes a choice and you accept it and make the choice according to it will move you out of God's time. Are you listening? Again, look at King Saul. Remember Saul? King Saul? Anybody read about him? You know, he was obedient to God, and then all of a sudden he got a desire to promote himself. And he thought his opinion was above God's command. And so instead of killing all the people with King Amalek and so forth and all the Amalekites, he ended up taking some of the spoil and so forth. And he was supposed to kill everyone, and he didn't. He brought the king back, and the Lord rebuked him and removed him from being king. Because he accepted a demonic desire that brought him a vision, and that vision was thinking, oh, I can really please God this way by doing it another way, even though he already knew what he was supposed to do. Hello. Again, Saul, who became Paul. You know, again, he was zealous for the Lord, wasn't he? But those demonic desires were not the desires of God. They were not divine desires. Then he got a divine revelation and began to accept divine desires, which brought vision. Look at Samson. Prime example. Man, did he have a demonic desire. Her name was Delilah. Hallelujah. Don't name your children Delilah. You break the curse off of them. And in this, he fell into fornication all the time because of that area of that demonic desire. And he couldn't fulfill the will of God, could he? In fact, Israel went back into captivity. Even though the end result was he destroyed many of the Philistines, they still went into captivity. Is everybody okay? King David. Boy, he took the same thing, didn't he? When he was hanging out on his rooftop having a cup of tea and began to become a peeping David. And he saw Bathsheba showering. He should have repented. But later on in his Psalms, he repented. Oh, Lord, don't let my eyes look upon anything that's not of you. You know, but it was too late for that Psalm. But at least he wrote something afterwards. But in that, you know, it caused a curse to come down his family line. He could not build the house of God because he had blood on his hands because he killed his right-hand man because it was his right-hand man's wife. And then the child died. So there are areas where some have recovered and some didn't. Caused much damage, didn't it? Matthew 16. Divine desires. There are demonic desires called addiction. It's a demonic desire. Pornography, fornication, those are demonic desires. They promote the wrong vision. In verse 24, is everybody there? Read it with me, please. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone what? Desires to come after me. Now, what kind of desire is that? That's a divine desire. But he says, listen, if you want to come after me, you're going to have to maintain these desires. You're going to have to what? Have a desire to what? Deny yourself. You're going to have a desire to what? Pick up the cross. You're going to have a desire to what? Follow him all the way to the end. That's a divine desire, isn't it? It's going to promote a divine vision. For whoever desires to save his life, so that means you're going to have to desire to lose your life. We'll lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will what? Will find it. Hallelujah. Matthew 20. Matthew 20. Is everybody there? In 26. I'll start at verse 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers... Is everybody there? But the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your what? Let me share with you, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to become a servant. So you must have a desire to become a what? Servant. Amen. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your what? Slave. So you must desire to become a what? Slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to what? Serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. See, you're giving your life ransom for many. Because you're no longer living for you anymore. You're living for him. Is that a divine desire? In that divine desire, does it bring vision? Yeah. Amen. Remember, the devil wants to fulfill his vision in your life and remove the vision or the divine vision from God. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And whose responsibility is to discern this? Ours. That's why we have the anointing, right? He says he'll teach you all things. He'll guide you to all truth. And he'll tell you things to come. Hallelujah. The whole thing is if you're listening. But you got to understand, it's hard to hear if you're not filled. Hello. If you're not willing to press all the way in and touch him, it's hard to hear. It's hard to listen. Has everybody got it? In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore I what? Exhort first of all that all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence to God. Now, so is that a divine desire? Yes. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be what? Should that be your desire? Yeah. And to come to the knowledge of the truth. Believe me, I see many people who are just saved, but they don't have the truth. Are you listening? They've accepted Jesus as Savior, but they're still not walking in the truth. They're deceived. And why? Because they're now carrying a demonic vision instead of a divine vision. Hello. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Hallelujah. Mark 16. Mark 16. And verse 16. Mark 16:16. Is everybody there? 16:16. Let's read this together. And he who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be what? condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt him. They will lay hands on the sick. And they will what? Recover. Now, that is that a divine desire? Yes, that is a corporate divine desire. Does everybody got it? Every believer should desire this right here. If you are a believer, see what he's saying, you got to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. You should want have a desire now to be baptized and filled with the Spirit then. This is a divine desire. Does everybody got it? And this is going to promote a vision, isn't it? You'll see yourself casting out devils. You'll see yourself laying hands on the sick. This is a corporate divine desire. Believe me, if the whole body was doing this, man, there'd be a lot more people rescued and saved. A lot more healed people too. Instead of fighting for the money, you'd be fighting for the soul. If the whole body of Christ was allowing this divine desire to be manifested with them and in them and through them, they would see themselves doing these works. And there'd be a lot more people in the body of Christ. That is a corporate desire. Now again, I shared there are individual desires for specific purposes because there is a specific function. Everybody has a specific function. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You know, God's got his perfect timing, doesn't he? Glory to God. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a what? Faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop. Now that word bishop means overseer. In fact, the word bishop is actually a pagan. It's a representation of pagan rituals, which I wish I'd get it out of the Bible. But anyways, you know, you can always cross it out and just put on their overseer. Same thing with the word Christ. The word Christ is Greek. But the word Christ actually means anointed one and his anointing. But see, by the Spirit of the Lord, we know the truth, don't we? So he's going to interpret the Word of God to you if you're listening. So there really are no bishops. They're overseers, aren't they? Has everybody got it? They're overseers. Because the Bible tells us what the fivefold ministry is. Apostles, prophets, and so forth. Bishop's not even on there, isn't it? Because the word bishop means overseer. Is everybody okay? But you know, man does whatever. Praise God. Is everybody okay? I do not desire to be a bishop. I don't want that. I don't mind being an overseer. But an overseer is associated with the fivefold ministry. Has everybody got it? Okay. So anyways, a overseer then must be what? Blameless. A husband of one wife. That's good. Temperate. Sober-minded. A good behavior. Hospitable. Able to teach. What else? Not given to wine. In other words, he drinks the best wine. It comes from above. Not carnal wine. Brings wrong vision, you know. And wrong desire. Not violent. Not greedy for money. But gentle. I said gentle. Not prideful. Not harshful. Not quarrelsome. Not covetous. One who rules his own house. Now first, you the house. Say, I'm the house. Rules his own house well. And then, his house, having his children where? In submission with all reverence. And this reverence is reverence to God. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. I said, not a novice. God does not put you in position overnight. Hello. Not that you don't have a desire to, But see, this desire to be an overseer, these are pre-qualifications. He's qualifying you to be in that position. I'll never forget when I first got saved, man, I wanted to do everything. Yes, I was on fire for God. Let's go do this. I was going doing outreaches and whatever. But God did not put me in position yet as an overseer. He didn't put me in charge of anything yet. He just let me go out and experience things so I could learn them and not be a novice. Has everybody got it? And as you begin to learn and you're mentored, then he begins to place you in position. And there's too many times people want to start on the first or second step and jump to the 15th. And they don't last. And then they struggle and fight to be there or maintain it when it's because the only reason for it is because they haven't been granted it. So there are pre-qualifications, and that's what he's talking about right here. What does he talk about? You must be a husband of one wife, not a girlfriend on the side. Hello. Temperate, sober-minded, good behavior. So, in other words, knowing how to rule your own house. You better take dominion over this. Your flesh, anger, whatever it is, outbursts of wrath, anything associated with that. Mistrust in God. All of that's got to be have dominion over before God will place you as an overseer. So there are qualifications, isn't there? But the desire to be one is a divine desire. Everyone should have a desire to fulfill some kind of office in the body of Christ eventually, no matter what it is. Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Is everybody there? Y'all all right? Yeah. Good. Psalm 37, verse 1. Would you read it, please? Do not what? Do not fret. They ought to put on there, don't freak out. Fret. Freak out. Don't freak out because of evildoers. Nor be envious of workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. All right, you ready? Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, please get this. This is very, very powerful. This is how divine desires are established. This is how they come forth. You know, so many times we're waiting. Remember, a divine desire, right, will promote a what? Choice. It always promotes a choice. A divine desire will always bring vision so that you can see. See, walking by faith, the Bible says walk by faith but not by sight. But that sight is carnal sight, because faith is spiritual sight. Has everybody got it? So in this, what's going to happen is, here it is. If you want to get divine desires, this is how they're birthed. This is how they come. He says, trust in the Lord and do what? So you got to trust and do good. And while you're doing good, something's going to happen. He says what? Dwell in the land and feed on his what? So you must trust him and you must feed on his faithfulness, no matter what it is. And then it says something very important. It says what? Delight yourself also. That must you must endure to get to him. You are delighting yourself in the Lord, no matter what. And then what's going to happen? You're going to get a desire. You're going to get a what? Divine desire. Does everybody see this? Okay, so there's three requirements. You must trust, dwell, and delight yourself in him. When those three are when those three come to pass, and you're doing them with all of your heart, you are going to get a divine desire that's going to bring forth vision, and you know exactly what choice to make. Has everybody got it? Now, here's something else. Let's say he gives you a desire, and you get a vision. There's something that he's sharing with you to do. But you don't know when, where, or how. So what do you do with it? Verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. What are you committing to the Lord? That divine desire. Has everybody got it? And what else? Trust also in Him. And then what does it say? And He shall bring it to pass. See, the problem is so many times we're trying to bring that divine desire or that vision to pass ourselves without committing it to the Lord and let Him do it. Are you listening? He must build it, not us. But He'll use you to build it, won't He? But only as you are receiving direction from Him. And verse 6, He shall bring forth what? Your righteousness as the light and your justice as a noonday. Why? Because when you commit that divine desire, that vision to the Lord, when He brings it to pass, it's always going to produce righteousness. It always produces righteousness. Has everybody got it? And then it says what? Verse 7. Rest in the Lord and what? Oh man, that word wait. That word wait means to endure. Wait patiently for who? Him. And do not freak out or fret because of Him who prospers in His way. So don't compare yourself to somebody else. And that's what moves people out of position. They begin to compare themselves to everybody else's vision. And they actually try to fill somebody else's vision instead of what God has given them. Are you listening? Now, there's nothing wrong with assisting when God calls you to help fulfill someone's vision. But the thing is you're trying to fulfill someone else's vision in your life instead of fulfilling someone else's vision and allowing God to fulfill your vision. Are you listening? Is everybody okay? So do you rest in the Lord? You wait patiently? You don't freak out or fret because somebody else is prospering? And it says, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. It says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Don't get discouraged. Don't get frustrated. Don't fret. It only causes what? It causes harm. Ooh. So you know what? We must commit these desires to the Lord. Hold on. Now listen, hold on until it what? Begins. I didn't say manifest, I said begins. A full vision will not manifest. It always has a beginning. This desire, this divine desire will promote a choice. This choice is going to give you a vision. You're going to have a vision to see. And what's going to happen is this: when you commit it to the Lord, what happens is you hold on, you commit it to the Lord, you rest, you trust, and you wait. It will begin. And when it begins, it will produce righteousness. But we must continue to rest, wait, endure, continue, maintain, and watch it flourish. That's our job. Psalm 23. Man, we needed this. We want to stay in divine order. You know, too many times people begin to chase the vision and it gets them out of divine order. When you chase the vision you do not chase. It's just like prophecies. You don't chase prophecies. You just listen to the Lord and you obey. You don't chase. The only one you should be chasing is the Lord. Psalm 23, verse 1. It says what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. That word want means what? Desire. It also means desire. You shall not want. It means desire. In other words, I'm not going to allow my desire to move me out of position. I want to discern the desire that's a divine one or a demonic one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not cooperate with a demonic desire. I will cooperate with a divine desire. Why? It says He makes me what? Lie down. Isn't that waiting? In green pastures, He what? Leads me besides still waters. He restores my what? Soul. He leads me in the path of what? Righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Why? Because the enemy's always going to try to bring you another desire to move you out of the divine desire that's promoting the correct vision. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they what? Comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my what? Now that table is your vision. Has everybody got it? That table is the vision that desire is given you to do. Has everybody got this? He says, you are what? Anoint my what? Well, what's always got to back you? The anointing. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for what? Ever. So everybody got this? The table is the desire that has promoted a vision. You are looking in the eyes of God now. Why? Because you're seeing His vision for you. You are looking in His eyes. Does everybody understand this? Why? You're fighting to get to His presence. He's given you a desire. That desire has been brought forth by a vision. You must make the right choices now. In this, you are now seeing in the eyes of God what He has for you. Is everybody okay? Is everybody all right? Are you sure? Are you getting this? You are looking in the eyes of the Lord now. Proverbs 3. See, by looking in the eyes of the Lord, you are seeing what He wants you to see. In Proverbs chapter 3, are you there? Verse 5. It says what? Trust in the Lord with what? All of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, what? Acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Do not be wise where? In your what? In your what? In your own eyes. So whose eyes are you looking in? The Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of all of your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we got to trust, lean, acknowledge, and look into the eyes of the Lord. Obey and prosper. Habakkuk chapter 2. Divine desire. Who would have thought all that come out of a divine desire? He knows. Divine desire. Habakkuk. It's right after Nahum and right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. I will stand my what? Watch. And set myself on the rampart. And watch to what? See what He will say to me. Oh, yeah. And what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on what? Tablets. And what tablets is He talking about? Your heart. Yeah. That he may run who what? Reads it. For the vision is yet for a what? Appointed time. So who's going to try to give you other desires to prevent this appointed time vision to come to pass? The devil. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will what? Oh yes, it will speak. Others will see and they will hear. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Now, faith is what? Spiritual sight. Faith is spiritual sight. Watch and receive. Imprint the vision of the desire in your heart. Stay humble, not anxious. Trust with spiritual sight. And walk in the faith all the way to the end. And let's close at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. You know, I know we use that word blind faith. We use that. Many times we use it. We're all walking in blind faith. Bummer. Faith isn't blind. So if you're walking in blind faith, you're walking in assumption. And ain't nothing going to come out of that. Psalm 127 and verse 1, would you read it? And we're going to close right here. What does it say? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Oh, glory. So we want to cooperate with the Lord. It's our responsibility to discern whether it's a divine desire or a demonic desire. Remember, the devil's always trying to get you to be anxious, to move you out of position. Anything that's associated with a demonic desire promoting the wrong vision will always move you out of divine order. You can always tell the fruits of these things that's coming to pass. Is everybody okay? Did you get it? Let's pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you, Lord. And we do desire divine desires. Lord, grant us the eyes to see, that we may see into your eyes and see what you want us to see. And we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, in every area that we've accepted the wrong desire and promoted a wrong vision and made the wrong choice. Wash us, sever us, and grant us a brand new opportunity to fulfill your vision. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.